To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard. What is this? A double gaggle of geeks.
Oh my God, so much geekery right now. And oh gee, I'm loving being handed the baton on the same day from Maria to myself, a gaggle of geeks. So hello.
Hello. But we have a massive week because the day has come. Thor's day has come. Ragnarok has come. Blake, what are we talking about?
It's finally here. And look, let's start off with, you know, because we've been gushing about Thor Ragnarok even before seeing it, just the excitement of Taika Waititi in the Marvel Universe. I think we can say, firstly, there's still a few little minor problems. Like, I think that what Marvel did here is they got a grenade in their hand named Taika Waititi, and they tried to cover it up with their hands and just let the explosion, you know, peter out in their hands, you know, close it in to this little, their little bubble of what there is kind of acceptable in their Marvel world. Mm-hmm. And they cannot contain the Taika Waititi of this movie. It is so much fun. So you would have seen maybe in the trailer that we see Thor getting imprisoned, getting his hammer broke by the evil Hela, played by an awesome Kate Blanchett, and then cast off to another world where he must fight in gladiatorial combat with a haircut against the champion, which is Hulk. So sort of bringing in that Planet Hulk storyline to fight his way out and then go back to Asgard and defeat Hela and sort of save his home realm, if you like. And, I mean, we could talk about the minutiae of the movie, but there's just everything is good in this movie. Chris Hemsworth is better than he's ever been as Thor. Every character, Ruffalo does some of the most amazing dick jokes at Tony Stark's expense. Kate Blanchett is a barrel of fun as being uber evil as Hela. Tessa Thompson is the best drunken Asgardian you've ever seen, falling out of her spaceship in the intro. And let's not forget Korg, who is a rock monster played by Taika Waititi and voiced like he's a Marty bouncer from Auckland. Oh. Pretty much makes this movie one of the most hilarious and batty and just, you know, off the wall, Flash Gordon-esque, He-Man, Masters of the Universe weirdness. And it just works in spades.
Oh, it was so much fun. As you mentioned, like, Chris Hemsworth's best he's ever been. I feel like he's actually found, like, Thor has kind of, like, become his home in this one. Like, he's really into it. He feels at home. He knows what he's doing. And he's just like, you know what, I'm just going to embrace this silly side that you kind of see just little bits and specks of in the previous films. Now he's like, I'm going to embrace it. And, like, the intro, the beginning, he's just spinning around in chains, just going, excuse me, hold one tick as I spin around to like,
yeah, it's like really, like, it's the Robert Downey Jr. thing, right? Like, so when Robert Downey Jr. walks into Iron Man, you know, he's got the dramatic punch that can sort of underpin that character and make him amazing. So the full breadth of the character can go from real, like, dramatic sort of darkness that's sort of really real to just straight out fast-talking hilarity. You know, he's that kind of fast-talking, sarcastic, you know, just machine, a word machine. And I think that Chris Hemsworth, we all forget, like, he's still like a young dude, you know. And when he was cast as Thor, it was this huge thing. It was basically like jumping from Home and Away to Thor. And he became one of the world's biggest movie stars pretty much overnight, you know, once the Avengers hits. And so I think this is like a guy who is really finally at home with his craft, having sort of that great mix between just insanely amazing timing and then that physicality. And he can get a bit of that sort of get more to that pathos in that story. But I think he's the kind of actor that's like, I don't want to play this so super self-serious like Shakespeare. It's a space adventure and we want it to be fun. So the way that he gets to finally temper it is tap into this incredible sense of comedic timing that he has. And I think for me, it's less about Hemsworth being funny, but just timing, like his timing, whether it's for action or whether it's for comedy, he's just so willing to do anything and just nail it, that it just works in spades. And he also just has that ability to charm the living pants off of anyone. So he's just, yeah, it's that perfect synthesis for this guy. Like, I think it's his maturity, and it just, you know, I'm so glad that he's now, you know, he gets to sort of showcase his whole performance range as an actor.
Totally. And as a Taika fan, I was just so happy to see so many like Taika film alumni pop up in the film. You've got the woman from Hunt for the Wilder People, and I was just waiting for a Terminator reference to come up. You have a few great
Rachel House is the actor there, and some of the best scenes in the entire film. Like, we've forgotten to even mention Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster. Like, Goldblum as the Grandmaster playing off of Rachel House and their sort of interplay, where she sort of plays the straight faced, like, murderous person, and he plays the very flighty, wants desperate to be loved Grandmaster, sort of enslaver of this small part of the universe. It's outstanding. Like, they have the best chemistry, and she's so goddamn awesome. There are cameos galore, I want to talk about, but we're not going to talk about now. We might have to save it to, like, some of our favorite things probably in the entire year happen in the cameos in the first 20 minutes of this movie. Oh, like, they are just out of control. Fantastic.
I was cackling. Like, so good.
But, you know, it's everything. You know, the direction, the color, the score, the characterization, the humor. You know, there is still some Marvel crappy problems. There is still some stuff that I found that was pretty... You know, I don't know whether it was just tonally something that they had to do, and it didn't sort of jive with me. But yeah, and for me, I don't know. I'm desperate for Loki to be bad. Like, I love bad Loki. And so for me, that was probably the only minor disappointment, is that here Tom Hiddleston doesn't seem as menacing because, you know, Thor is so onto his tricks. But I kind of, you know, I miss the mewling Quim, you know, Loki. That's the only thing that I would say about that.
The thing is, their chemistry is so good, but he doesn't seem like he would have been the main villain in the first Avengers. He's such a sidekick in this, and it's just like,
yeah,
you're supposed to be all very powerful. You're like a shadow of who you were, and it's a bit strange.
Yeah, so that's exactly right, you know, and that was kind of my feeling as well, which is I think Taika Waititi used the characters for the story that he was trying to tell. And I think that that's probably the greatest strength of this Thor movie, is that it feels like, even though we know that this is absolutely a Thor movie, and even though we know absolutely it has the obligation to fit into this Marvel universe, I was extremely impressed with the fact that I could totally watch this and not give a single crap about, you know, most of the other Marvel films. Like, you know, I think the explanations of, you know, how Hulk got to Sakaar and things like that, you know, some of that madness needs to be there. But for me, it's, you know, I think they're the most boring parts. Anything that interconnects it with the rest of the Marvel universe, yeah, I almost feel like could be cut out, because this, well, like, just as a singular space adventure comedy, when it's not connected to any other part of the Thor universe and they just let the reins off for Waititi, it's pretty sublime.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, little nod here, little nod there. You're like, okay, we get it. We know Infinity War's coming up. Yeah, yeah, just, we want to go back to the space adventure, guys.
Can we go back to Korg? For the love of God, get me back to some Korg. He's just incredible.
Like, I think throughout the whole night after we saw it, I was just saying to my boyfriend, like, we need to start a revolution, but I forgot to bring the pamphlets.
Start a revolution. It is, so, like, it doesn't get any better than Korg. I mean, yeah, and... this is, you know, this is that weird thing, right? It's like, the more that I watch this Marvel movie, and it is, you know, when we talk about a comic book movie, it's fun, it's adventurous. Like, it feels way more like an 80s space opera than it does a Marvel movie, which I guess is part of the reason why Guardians, like, feels like sort of, you know, a sort of really self-effacing Star Wars-ish kind of movie as opposed to a Marvel movie. But the whole time I was watching this, I was like, I just want to see more Taika Waititi movies. I just want to see him completely unhinged and not in this world and getting to do whatever, you know, a completely disconnected movie that has nothing to do with a big superhero franchise, but just gets to be him. Because man, is he just such a talented filmmaker and a talented comedic actor as well, and voiceover artist, because he's in this movie doing that. And yeah, just, I mean, incredible. Like, it's really, if this is a show of, you know, them giving the level of control that they did for someone like Ryan Coogler with the upcoming Black Panther, I think it shows good tidings for some of what's become pretty freaking boring, as far as I'm concerned, in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I still feel it was only 80% Tiger, not the full 100%. When it was the full 100%, I'm like, just give the entire Marvel Universe to Tiger and then we're good.
Yeah. Then we're good. Look, and even at 80%, 80% Taika is a lot of Taika. Like, that's a strong amount of Taika. But I absolutely agree with you that, like, there is that, whenever you felt like it wasn't him being allowed to play without any sort of reins in his own sandbox, is the weakest parts of this movie. But when you get that undiluted, amazing him, it's probably some of the best and funniest stuff Marvel's ever put to screen.
Absolutely. Oh, so pretty much go see it is our recommendation here on Cackle of Geeks.
Huge recommendation. And go and watch every other Taika Waititi movie. Like, we've been saying this for so long, guys, but if you haven't heard of an episode of Gaggle of Geeks so far and heard Soph and I gushing, welcome. Thank you so much for listening, number one. But number two, go and see Thor Ragnarok if you're a Marvel fan, because you're going to have an awesome time, have a hell of a lot of laughs. And when you want to go home and keep laughing, Hunt for the Wilder People, Boy, Eagle versus Shark, and what we do in shadows.
Oh
just
my
watch
god!
Those.
There was a reference.
You will
in that.
Die laughing. They are all absolutely hilarious. Mm. And you know, especially What We Do in Shadows does have a few of those Maori bounces that we talked about. So
yeah,
I would definitely get in there and check that out. But Hunt for the Wilder People, most recently, particularly, is one of my favorite films of last year, easily, and infinitely rewatchable. So do yourself a favor, see Thor, but then go see all the Taika movies and buy them.
Yes, do that. And the other thing is Julian Dennison from Hunt from the Wilder People is appearing in the new Deadpool film. So I'm like, watch it and then be really, really pumped for the new Deadpool film because the kid is in it.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I think the smartest thing that the comic book universes do is keep watching Taika Waititi and casting the people he casts in his movies in your movies.
Pretty much. Oh, big gaggle of geeks there, Blake, but we also had some very exciting news for any person who likes Harry Potter.
I know. And look, well, I know we're in Sydney, and so we're right in the thick of Sydney, and we're talking to Sydneysiders, but guys, start buying a ticket to Melbourne, because Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the play, is coming to Melbourne next year. So incredible stuff, and something that they didn't think was going to get off London, get out of London's West End. We thought it was just going to be sort of a one and done there, but infinitely, you know, with these things that are incredibly popular, they do come out. So wow, I cannot wait to see it. I'm definitely already in the pre-planning stages. For anyone who's been listening to Gaggle Geeks for a long time, you know my daughter's middle name is Hermione. So it's pretty much fate that I will be buying a ticket to Melbourne, getting along to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, no doubt.
I'm just like, why is it always Melbourne? Like, they got Book of Mormon first. Now that they got, like, you know, Matilda as well. And you're like, oh, damn, come on, guys.
Because we pity Melbourne. They've got crap weather for most of the year and then uncontrollable heat for the rest. Sorry, Melbourne.
Sorry.
They do.
Okay, but it's good. With, like, you know, you get all the Sydneysiders spending money in your economy, so woo! Oh, but Blake,
well, if there's a Sydney independent airline that we can give money to and not spend it in Victoria, let's see if we can do that.
I don't even know how to answer that. Oh, but Blake, thank you for another gaggle of geeks. I will most likely be seeing Thor Ragnarok again.
Me too.
So much fun. So much fun.
So much fun.
But till next week, bye.
Bye. Thanks, Soph. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.